Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
Chris Daly always looked like he wanted to kill himself, though.
Kind of a little.
I'm like, okay, next is a video from Limp Bizkit.
Yeah. I'm dating Jennifer Love Hewitt. Hello, I'm Dan Nalen, and this is Soundwaves from the Underground, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action, sports, and subculture. This week, the long-going heavy metal episode. Is this episode 3? You guys have been involved with this before. We have all of our distinguished metal writers all in one room. Tight confines, drinking some beer, and ready to talk about some of the coolest metal that's going on out there. Before we get into that, why don't we go around and just say hello to everybody. Give us a little bit about yourself, how you got into metal.
Okay, my name's Dylan. I'm a writer. I suppose I got into metal through skateboarding. I'm not sure which one came first. Probably skateboarding, and then hearing metal songs and videos just kind of led to a deeper interest in the genre.
Nice. Excellent. Gavin?
I'm Gavin. I'm also a writer, and I suppose I did just the opposite of Dylan. I actually had cousins and folks in the neighborhood when I was really young that introduced me to metal, and so I've been listening to it from a really early age, and then I just somehow found skateboarding and went from there.
Excellent. Megan?
Megan, I'm a writer and a photographer, and Briar Warden's actually the reason I'm into metal. He angry young woman meets metal expert equals
a perfect confluence of events. Excellent. Alex?
Yeah, I got into metal through punk rock, weirdly enough, through a different genre, and kind of when thrash was getting big in the mid-aughts, and so kind of hopped on that trolley, and that's what introduced me to the genre.
Excellent. Ricky?
I'm Ricky Vigil. I'm the contributing editor, and I got into metal because one time Against Me played a show with Mastodon. So I bought a Mastodon CD in preparation for the show, and it stuck. So now I'm into metal also, as well as moderately good punk rock.
Moderately good. All right. Briar.
As you said my name, I am Briar. I am the old fart metal writer for Slug. It's been over 7 years now.
Does that mean you only write about old fart metal, or you are the old fart in question?
No, I'm just the old fart in question.
Writes about a lot of Jethro Tull.
Somebody has to.
I was born into folk rock and basically hippie music from my parents, and
survived to talk about it.
Metallica's Black Album was what ended it all for me.
Ended it all. And Briar, you and I have gone to a Metallica concert together, correct? Yes. Years ago? Yeah.
Wait, isn't the Black Album a hippie record anyway?
It is now, right?
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, there's our pithy introductions. Why don't we go ahead and delve into some music here, picked by all these experts. And this being our Halloween episode, we're kind of going with horror-themed metal today. So everybody kind of went out and found somebody who's either creepy, crawly, or costumed, right? And we found some good tunes. Why don't we start with Gavin Hoffman's pick? Tell us a little bit about who you picked, the song, and why you were feeling this one for this theme.
I pretty much just winged it because, I mean, I don't really find anything all that scary or creepy or anything about metal. And so I just went back to one of the classics and picked a song called Charred Remains by Autopsy. Strictly just because the lyrics are fairly gnarly, and it's one of the only death metal bands that I actually still listen to and think is any good. Most death metal anymore is terrible. But I thought the lyrics were gory enough to fit in with a horror-themed episode, so I winged it and said, pick this one.
Perfect. We do have some of the lyrics here that have been helpfully doled up by our producer, Gavin Sheehan. Let's get into some of those. Gut-wrenching screams fill the air, the rancid smell of burning hair. Screaming in excruciating pain, blood boils over, warping veins. Just a taste, but why don't we listen to a little bit, and then we will discuss.
Coming back,
So, Dylan, you were just mentioning those guys have a relatively new album that you are a fan of.
Yeah, I guess it came out either last year or 2 years ago. I don't know. But it was one of the best releases of the year. Not even just metal, like one of the ones I listen to the most. Kind of like Gavin said, as far as death metal, I don't really follow anything that's kind of came out after the mid-90s, but Autopsy is still a band that's really vital and important in my opinion.
That actually made that record made my top five. I think it was 2011.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It was
first
great.
Last year.
Yeah. Great band.
And then they did another one this year. It's a combination of a bunch of EPs and splits, extra tracks, things like that. Some of it I hadn't heard before. A lot of it I had, but some of it I hadn't. That I also thought was really, really good. After taking that long of a break, I didn't have a whole hell of a lot of hope for them coming back and being any good, but
they've held up.
They're still really, really good.
Have they been through town lately?
No. And to riff on Mr. Hoffman's statement there, they were kind of around in another band called Abscess, which mm-hmm. released a lot of albums, and it was most of the members of Autopsy. A lot more punk rock in them, but yeah, if you like Autopsy, look into Abscess.
Mm-hmm. Was that like a breakup situation among Autopsy, or was it just like a side project kind of thing?
Side project. We want to do something else. It's not Autopsy.
At least so, for a little bit.
Because yeah. Autopsy started going really downhill there for a while. Some of the stuff that they were releasing towards the first end of the band, so to speak, was just terrible. It was just really not good. But the Abscess stuff was actually really good.
Okay. What is it about Autopsy, Gavin, that you mentioned that a lot of the current death metal is just not up to snuff, really, compared to these guys? I mean, what is it about them that appeals to you?
Autopsy was one of the few bands, really, that stayed away, at least the U.S. bands anyway, that stayed away from the Florida Morris Sound Studios formula. Uh-huh. And actually, you know, almost had more of a, I guess, a punk rock kind of a feel to them, whereas everyone, like, you know, all the bands like Deicide and Cannibal Corpse, you know, they all just ended up sounding the same and putting out essentially the same record over and over, and it just got really, really boring. But Autopsy was one of the few U.S. death metal bands that actually kind of always stuck with me.
Wow.
So when we said, okay, let's do something horror, you know, horror-themed, I went, all right, well, they've got gross lyrics. Cool.
Gross lyrics, good album cover I'm looking at here.
Mm-hmm. I do have to ask if there was any coincidence that Sam Dunn, that made the Headbangers Journey film,
Canadian
talks guy. About this song.
Talks about this song, and I realized that actually. I only realized that after I picked the song and sent it in, and as soon as I sent it in, that's the first thing that came to my mind. It's like, oh, shit. It's like, yeah, he, because he goes on a big spiel about, I guess it's him and his buddies hanging out in the schoolyard trying to gross each other out with metal lyrics. And that was that was his song that he picked. And as soon as I actually emailed it over, I went, oh, fuck. Well, I hadn't seen that movie in a while. I hadn't seen the documentary in a long time, and it didn't click until after I'd said it. But that being said, even, you know, I probably would have chosen the same thing anyway.
Right. Excellent.
So thanks for...
It's a great documentary.
Thanks for bringing that up, Breyer.
Yeah, thanks
what
for
a dick.
Making me look right. No, but it actually is a really good documentary. The bonus disc on there with the, what is it, like 30 minutes with Lemmy?
Oh,
that's
right.
Priceless.
Excellent.
The interview with the guy from Gorgoroth is really funny too.
Oh, with Gaul?
Oh yeah, he's got like a wine glass in his hand. He's wearing a bathrobe.
I've heard about that interview.
It's really funny.
It's great. Bits and pieces of it.
All right, Alex Ortega, we're gonna delve into your song now. Why don't you tell us what you do here at Slug, of course, and then tell us a little bit about English Dogs.
Well, I am the junior editor here at Slug, and so beforehand I like wrote and copy edited, and then I became junior editor. And then with English Dogs, they are kind of a crossover band that was around in the early 80s in the UK, kind of crossover from that Oi or early British street punk into thrash metal.
All right.
Yeah.
And you picked Nosferatu for the Halloween theme, or does this song speak to you?
Well, kind of a little bit of both, because it's kind of catchy and it retains the sort of, like, you'll hear the chorus, it's like, Nosferatu! And so, I don't know, I'm really into, like, the aural character of songs, and so, but also I picked it because, you know, it's Nosferatu. It's Halloween-y.
Excellent.
And so, and I was, when people said horror, I had more of, like, the monsters in mind or something like that. And so, but then when I learned that we could pick like Autopsy and like gore and stuff, I was just like, Oh, that kind of horror, too. But I went with the vampire thing, and I'm sticking with it.
All right, good call.
I like how no one is happy with their picks so far.
Everyone gets put on the spot for this assignment, and then it's like, well, I'm going to pick so much. Well, all right, this is from a 1985 album, Forward Into Battle. Let's give a little listen here to English Dogs, Nosferatu.
We hate the final force of the devil's blood. A man to whom mortality matters not. The evils of the world in human form. Devised to prey on the weakened mind. Yeah! He bounces ever-present body. With bloodlust in his mind and soul. Worshipper of all evil commands. Nosferatu, the deadliest power.
Well, it's definitely got the punky vibe with English Dogs there. Thoughts? What do you guys think? Fans?
I like
besides
it.
Alex? Or is Alex alone? Oh, alone soldier here?
I like the English
vocals,
Dogs.
The vocals are awesome.
Yeah. I've actually never heard of this band until Alex told me about them, but they're really rad. Like, I know that Alex is a post-street punk, if you guys know. But, yeah, Alex, like, his... Mm-hmm. Been bringing back some more Oyen Street Punk into the Slug office that we listen to just during the day.
Sorry, guys.
Forcing it on the staff.
It's rad. I mean,
some of that stuff is really,
yeah,
really
stuff
good.
I used to listen to. I used to listen to a lot more pop punk, but I was into that stuff too. But yeah, this song is really rad. I really like the.
Have you ventured back into English Dogs' back category?
No, not much. I've only listened to a couple of songs.
You should venture back a little bit. Around that time, around like the mid 80s, a lot of that stuff that they did, and that's actually a really good pick, but a lot of the stuff that they were doing in the mid 80s was really, really good.
Are they still alive and kicking, or has they made anything new?
In some incarnation,
the bass player's got a thing going.
I mean, I don't know how good it would be to see them now.
Right, yeah. They're kind of like one of the ilk of like Broken Bones.
That's the band I was going to compare them to.
Broken Bones, like their guitar, I think it was their guitarist passed away like a little while ago. But I don't know, one of the reasons I kind of picked this was just because of the crossover aspect and that to sort of illuminate that those two genres, I guess, have a lot in common.
Yeah, those,
yeah. I mean, even if you look back into the annals of punk history.
Mm-hmm. Yes, punk is no stranger to horror, obviously.
Yeah.
Punk is no stranger to metal.
It's metal, like those early British bands, I mean, Discharge, like, the dudes in Metallica were definitely listening to Discharge when they wrote Kill 'Em All.
What was the crossover band for you, Alex? You mentioned you were punk and then you had this crossover moment. Was there a band? Was there a show? Was there a moment?
This will eventually segue into Megan's pick, but my I was playing in a band and my friend who was the drummer in that band introduced me to the Black Dahlia Murder.
Okay.
And so that's kind of...
Jumping off point?
Yeah. To speak. But I guess before that, I was kind of into, like, to Judas Priest and whatnot, and especially Judas Priest's Painkiller album.
Oh, yeah.
And so,
such a good record.
Excellent. Well, with that, why don't we go into Megan's pick? Megan, tell us a little bit about what you do at Slug, and then let's delve into the Black Dahlia Murder.
I'm writer and photographer. I cover heavy metal. I've done book reviews, art reviews, things like that. I photograph. Concerts are my favorite, but anything Slug needs, really.
Okay.
My pick was Horror Cosmic? I always get those two reversed.
Yes, Thy Horror Cosmic.
By Black Dahlia Murder. I picked it. That whole album that came from Unhallowed is actually got some pretty horrific stuff. I mean, it's a fun mythology-ish album. Gavin?
Gavin gave a big thumbs down.
I'm with you, man.
I know. See,
cheers.
But the whole album, like, I kind of struggled with, do I pick a different song on this album? And like everybody else, I'm like second guessing my pick because I almost went with Ice Earth because I really like their horror show album. And then like Damien especially. I almost went with Himsa as well. Skinwalkers was a great one. But I ended up going with this because I think it...
It's a divisive call here in the room, people. You can't see it. But
oh, they're so mad.
There's fisticuffs almost happening.
But this has an overall more horror feel to me, I think. Plus that it's Cthulhu, which is Lovecraft is... If not the greatest horror writer of all time, maybe second to Matheson, but
R.L. Stine,
Alvin Schwartz,
oh yes.
I think they're doing a film event at the October Evening this year.
Oh, are they
doing Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark?
Really?
So, yeah, doing horror. But yeah, so this was what I went with because Cthulhu is where it's at. So that's.
Okay.
No question.
By Horror Cosmic. This is from their 2003 debut full length called Unhallowed. Here's Black Dahlia Murder. As we mentioned, a bit of a divisive choice here. Gavin and Dylan, not a fan. Let's hear why. it's all in good spirits.
I mean, it is in good spirit, but I'm just going to say it's because of their fan base. Not these two, but the rest of them.
Not the fans in this room, but the fans room, that go to the shows and buy records.
Black Dahlia and a lot
Come on,
of...
just get a V-neck, bro.
A lot of bands of their ilk tend to appeal to people who like aren't really into metal. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Spell brutal with two zeros.
Yeah, like so that, I mean, you know, this sort of Ozfest.
You're blaming the band for their fans. Is that what's happening?
I almost would, in a sense. I have a really, really hard time with bands that are supposed to be metal that you listen to, and you can just hear how Pro Tool to hell everything is. Everything, I mean, that's one of the things about punk rock and metal that I always loved, is that a lot of the bands that I listen to, if there's a flub, if there's a missed hit, if there's, you know, something like that, you can hear it, and it just adds to how good, really, the record is. But, you know, bands like this, when the, you know, the kick drum just sounds like click, 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 it just sounds completely
perfectly
artificial.
Programmed.
Yeah, and it just doesn't, it doesn't have any feeling for me. But that said... There are, I mean, and that goes for all different, that goes for all different types of music, and it really is just, it's kind of in the eye of the whole.
Sure.
And like, as they bring up Skinny Puppy, which is one of my favorite bands, because it is all electronic, but that, there's, in my mind anyway, there's a difference in being an electronic band and presenting yourself that way.
Right.
And being a band that is actually surrounded by instruments and, you know, uses... drum triggers and things like that. The feeling is there, and I get it. I can understand why people like that type of stuff.
Right.
But it's just too processed.
Not quite gritty enough. Yeah.
See,
the
to me, in defense of the selection, I think especially with Unhallowed, I think there's definitely some technique that I had never been exposed to, and so, like, just in terms of the guitar, using a bunch of pedal tones, and, you know, it's, like, really gruff, like, death growly music. There's death growls and the pterodactyl screeches and whatnot, but it's still... I think it's just interesting that it retains a sense of melody amongst the chaos.
That's what
you
don't like. I'm just kidding.
Get the melody out of there.
You have to understand that where I'm coming from, because I am a drummer, one of the things that I mainly listen to on records is drums.
Right.
I can totally appreciate talent. I can totally appreciate exactly what you said.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of melody. There's a lot of harmonies. And to be honest, a lot of that stuff is really kind of mind-bending when you actually listen to what's going on. But, I mean, really with me, especially just with tones that come out, especially from the drums, and I know I can listen to bands like that, and I know exactly how it was recorded.
Yeah.
I know it was done to, and I know how it was processed. It completely kills it. And I almost wish, I really honestly think a lot of bands like that I'd probably like or would be a lot more into if they would ease back on a lot of that shit.
Sure, yeah. I mean, yeah, because I'm a guitarist. And so, like, what I listen for is, like, the dynamics of a song.
Right.
And I think that I wasn't so crazy about Nocturnal and what Black Dahlia Murder did after that, but I just like the sense of guitar tonal dynamics that is present with those records.
I think I just want to say that I don't play anything.
All right, that's enough.
But so that means that I'm just a pure listener, and I'm a devoted snob. And really, I mean, the only reason, a lot of it has to do with the fact that, like, when Black Dahlia Murder was starting to, like, get big, there was kind of this, like, metalcore sort of thing that was happening, and I was super into, like, hardcore. And so anything that sort of, like, was a little bit more commercially viable, but was still kind of sort of trying to, like, appeal to hardcore kids, oh, I hated. And I still, like, have this bitter taste about it. So...
Well, here's what I'll say, and with all the love in the world to you guys, your problems seem cultural.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not saying that you don't have the right to that, and I totally get it. I have the same problem with some stuff, especially because I'm a book snob. Like, I can't abide shit literature for anything. If you fuck up writing, I will take you down. I love it. That being said, I will say there is, and in researching for this podcast, I kind of noticed that, like, because I looked up the lyrics to everybody's things as I was listening to their tracks before this, and I will say that the new brand of death metal has pussed out lyrically.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
They've lost a lot of poetry. Mm-hmm. They lost a lot of extremism.
A lot of soul, man. Like, Obituary? Yeah. I mean, there's, like, some ragged soul there. I mean, it sounds awful. It sounds like somebody being dragged across a driveway. Like, that kind of sounds really sanitized to me.
Yeah.
There's some bands that I enjoy them lyrically, and especially when I enjoy them lyrically, they are a standout band to me, because I think lyrics are totally underrated.
Right.
People think, you can't understand it in metal, so it doesn't matter. Bullshit.
Yeah.
I need poetry. If you're just... lyrics ruin stuff faster than anything. So I don't play anything like Dylan, so I'm just a pure listener. I'm not a musician, so.
Right.
But I will say that at least the older death metal is gory and raw.
Yeah.
Newer stuff, I mean, we got more politically bent stuff. It seems like more, I don't want to say introspective, because that kind of, it's more cognitive, I guess, than visceral.
Okay.
And so I think that change is kind of, that's a definite difference between the new school and old school. But,
Now, have
but yeah,
we,
you guys are just
I will be.
It, so.
I will join the group of those guys that say, "Slaughter of the Soul."
Oh, yeah.
At the gates.
It ruined everything.
Ruined everything.
Yeah.
The reason a whole bunch of metalcore bands that everyone hates.
Good pick though, Megan. Really, because it got us talking.
Well, and how many of us have seen this band live? And is there any reflection on that? Gavin?
Yes, I've seen them live.
And your impression then?
Terrible.
Terrible.
He's the singer with the tiniest nipples, though, because he always takes his shirt off.
He has a really funny tattoo, though.
Yeah.
They were, I actually saw them, if I'm not mistaken, I saw them at Lo-Fi.
I remember
that. And that would have been right about the time Unhallowed came out, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
And then it was not good, and I never paid attention, and then I saw a picture of them or something like that, and those dudes... look like, I mean, they went
Culture
from being, well, no, they went from being, like, super, like, skinny, just, you know, guys in a band to being just these really gnarly, overweight.
They're bearded, very bearded.
Yeah, neither here nor there, but, I mean, they just packed on the pounds, like nobody's business.
That's success.
Like, man, what do you got? I mean, it's, you know, you can tell that these guys do nothing but, like, hang out, play guitar, and, you know, do whatever they're going to do all day, and get stoned and eat Doritos. That's all they do.
This is the guy always on Facebook, ready to rip me when I talk about any band.
It's because I have a job that forces me to sit in front of a computer and do nothing.
Look, Gavin, you're not going to stay thin eating the entrails of the dead.
Well, yes, I know that.
Into the calendar. This is your weekly daily calendar rundown, which you can find all of these events and more at slugmag.com. On Tuesday, October 30th, you have Alan Stone, who is one of these really skinny white guys from small town Washington, but is a great soul singer, often compared to Stevie Wonder, Donnie Hathaway, people you would never expect from a small town kid from Washington. He's on Tuesday night, the 30th, at the Complex. Wednesday, Halloween. Let's ask the room. Anyone got a great costume or any events you're going to on Halloween?
No.
Nope.
I'm going trick-or-treating.
Trick-or-treating?
Yeah.
I'm going as underwear-wolf.
What does that entail exactly, Dylan?
Just a wolf costume with some whitey tighties.
That's basically me walking around my ass.
I was going to say, us hairy dudes can just go with the tighty ladies.
All you need is a pair of whitey tighties.
All right. Halloween night, I know they have a Brothers Grimm fairy tale theme over at the garage, and it's also the beginning of the Heber City Cowboy Poetry Gathering, where all of us will be hanging out, I'm sure, next week.
It does sound spooky.
It's actually surprisingly fun. There's some drinking to be had. There is some great music, some cowboy poetry, of course. Thursday, November 1st, Matt and Kim at In the Venue, the duo that's been dating for like a decade, knocking out really pop punk stuff. Pretty fun show. We get the thumbs down from Gavin on that one.
I like them too.
They're a fun live show for sure. Their new album, Lightning, just came out. It's pretty good stuff all the way around. Friday, November 2nd, Poor Moon is playing the State Room. They're a kind of a slightly folky pop band playing. And then we also have a Feist group show, a dead theme. Ricky knows a little bit about.
It's called All Dead. It's really rad, actually. It's Day of the Dead themed. We actually have two articles in the October issue of Slug that tie in. I interview Jacob Bannon from Converge. He has a piece. He's also an artist, as our listeners may know. He has a piece in that show. And Gavin interviewed Michael Sieben, who is... a known artist. He runs a skateboard company called Roger, is that right?
Yeah, Roger Skateboards.
Roger Skateboards. He has really, really cool art. I'm stoked to go check out that show. They have a bunch of big names at that show. It's going to be crowded. It's going to be
something
cool.
Like, was it like 25 or 30 artists that are participating?
Yeah, and a lot of them are national artists too, and like big names. It's going to be really cool.
So get to FICE early that night in order to be able to actually walk around and function.
Go to Este after.
That's a good thing. One way or the other.
Yeah.
Saturday, November 3rd, Father John Misty, a guy who's played in the Fleet Foxes, doing that whole kind of Pacific Northwest, chimey, really pretty singing. He's played with Jesse Sykes in The Sweet Hereafter, Damian Gerardo, not a bad show. That's at Urban Lounge on Saturday, November 3rd. Sunday, November 4th, this group will again be gathering for Morrissey at Kingsbury Hall. Morrissey has inspired one of my favorite songs, Morrissey Rides a Cock Horse by Warlock Pinchers. Anyone?
I love the Pinchers, but side note, if anyone out there listening would like to donate a ticket to Morrissey to me, yes, I will take it.
I would like to mention my favorite Morrissey-inspired song, which is from a Wilhelm Scream. It's called Me Versus Morrissey in the Pretentiousness Contest.
So Morrissey has inspired great artwork all the way around, not just with his own mopey music, but it'll be a big show, and I've actually seen him before, and it's a good show.
It's a buy-in, it is.
Legitimately, how many of us might go? Might go?
Oh, absolutely.
Half the room.
If I can get the ticket, I will go.
Half the room, okay.
I won't go, but I respect your guys' decision.
I respect your right to go to Kingsbury Hall.
Like, Breyer didn't even, like, flinch to that question.
Fuck that.
And, of course, you'll be looking for the brand new issue of Slug that is coming out that very weekend with all of your November action going on. So there's your daily calendar. Of course, you can go and look at it online at slugmag.com. Every stinking day there'll be new events up there. Right now, we just changed the way we do those events. You can make yourself a free account to enter your own events that will go on the website or on our iPhone app. Just go to slugmag.com and check out how to do it. A couple of other things, you can add photos, some multimedia action for a fee of $50 a year or $5 a month, but it's still super free, so just go to the website and check it out. And, of course, all you iPhone drones, go download the app. You'll want that. So, back to the metal. Our next featured fellow is Briar Wharton. Briar, tell us a little bit about the band that you chose and the song that you chose.
I came across this band when I was first starting to get into death metal and my love of horror movies, and it clashed. I bought a DVD release of Italian movie director, film director, Lucio Fulci's The Beyond, and the DVD release actually had a music video from this band, Necrophagia.
Rolls right off the tongue. Necrophagia.
They have a music video that was on that DVD, and from there I checked them out, and the whole band is just a whole homage to old school horror movies.
And they're an old school band. They've been around since 1983, and from Ohio, we've got a couple of old school selections here. So
they actually have had Phil Anselmo playing guitar for them.
Playing guitar. Wow. How is he as a player? Have you heard those records?
Yeah.
They Pro Tools the shit out of his parts. Right? All right, let's listen to a little bit of Necrophagia.
You ungodly warlock. Because of you, this hotel and this town will be cursed forever.
Thoughts? It's kind of hooky there.
go to YouTube, the video, you'll find the music video for the song, which is ultra gory in the old school way. It's not CG, full on makeup. There's a scene in the music video of a young girl head being basically obliterated from a gun that repeats
over, in case you missed it.
I think I'd seen their band name in one of your equations at some point, but I'd never heard them, and I checked them out, and I was really into like their groove-based style. There's this one segment where it's just like really high, and just like, yeah, I was getting into it. I thought it was a cool choice.
Awesome. Does anyone else think Ohio is a really weird place for death metal to come from?
No, there's a ton of good stuff that comes out of Ohio. Really? This band called Nunslaughter. Everybody go listen to that band because they're great.
Yes. Nunslaughter and actually with a side project, Necrofilth, which is more punk rock type stuff, but Nunslaughter is one of my favorites. Yeah. That band's awesome. There's a lot of good stuff coming out of Ohio, but Necrophagia was actually one of those bands that was kind of always, for me, always under the radar. I knew who they were, I'd heard them, but they always did kind of fly under the radar for me for some reason or other until, I can't remember what record it was, but one day I happened to put it on, and as I just said, I really want to go home and listen to them again now, because they were never so much of a huge standout band, but every time that I heard them, I loved what I heard.
Yes.
I really like his vocal style, too. Mm-hmm. It's not, like, straight up, like, death growl or, like, proto-death growl, like, with death or anything. Like, there's, like, some, I don't know how to really describe it, but
there's just oomph behind it, really.
Yeah.
A different sort of character.
Yeah.
I was going to say chutzpah, but...
Chutzpah, yes.
That band's got some serious chutzpah.
That works.
Those work. They sound like they'd be a great live band, certainly. Anyone seen them ever? Have they rolled through? No. Too old school. All right, let's move on to Dylan's choice here. You picked Earthride. What is it about Earthride that appeals to you?
Earthride is a newer band. Well, new-ish, I guess probably mid-2000s. They're from Maryland, which is sort of had a history of Doom-related bands with Maryland, D.C. area with, like, you know, Pentagram, the Obsessed, bands like that. And Earthride really is pretty derivative, I will say, but I like them a lot. They really just kind of take that traditional Doom template of, like, Witchfinder General, Pentagram, but, like, with really, really, really gravelly vocals. In fact, the reason I picked this song is because it sort of follows the same kind of narrative that, like, Iron Maiden's Number of the Beast follows, which is sort of like this person is sort of out wandering in the forest and stumbles across something that they know they shouldn't see. In this case, it's some sort of ritual, and the person that's singing the song, like, ingests something hallucinogenic and sees some weird stuff. Anyway, kind of spooky, and a little bit kind of campy, sort of in that Hammer horror kind of way, which it always makes for good lyrics. But anyway, yeah, just real groove based, just slow, kind of thick, good stuff. One of the better releases that Southern Lord has had. I don't think Southern Lord put out this EP, but they signed right after this.
Oh, was this the EP before Vampire Circus?
Yeah, okay. It was right before Vampire Circus. You know, I can't say I'm on board with everything Southern Lord does anymore, but this was the era that I was really into this label and this aesthetic. So
all right.
Stop talking.
Oh, perfect. You'll be talking again in a second. This is a song called Black from Earthride. Yeah, what is with that? Is it the being close to the political scene in D.C. or something?
I don't know.
Maryland scene.
Maybe it's something about, like, old nation, you know, the
old money?
Yeah, old money, something like that. I don't know. But if anybody has the chance to see the Pentagram documentary about Bobby Liebling, you should absolutely see it. If you have no interest in metal at all, if you just want to see just how tormented some of the people that make this kind of, like, specifically Doom-related music are, it'll be a... It's really kind of a mind-bender.
It is an amazing documentary.
Really good.
Metal or not, it is really, honestly, one of the best documentaries I've ever seen.
What's it called, do you guys
know? Last Days Here.
Last Days Here.
Mm-hmm. I read last year Decibel actually had a cover story where they interviewed him. He's, like, super interesting, super messed up.
Damaged.
Like, it's super interesting to hear
but
about.
But the thing I've always liked about Doom metal is that it kind of takes a lot of the traditional metal tropes but it sort of inverts them. Like, they almost come from a sort of Christian perspective, mm-hmm. like, where there's a real fear of evil. They're not embracing it. Mm-hmm. It's more like, sort of like old blues singers who would kind of totally be singing blues, about, like, the devil's on my trail, yeah. and I've lived a hard life, and, you know, and that's really kind of refreshing to hear when it's not just guys, like, praying to Satan, mm-hmm. which is, mm-hmm. there's always room for that, too, but, you know.
There's always room for Satan.
Yeah, right, absolutely, but I really like the more sort of, I mean, it's almost like a more conservative approach to evil, you know, they're like, don't go in the woods because the witches are there.
Well, that's when you get into bands like Trouble.
Oh, yeah, Trouble, yeah.
The first two records there. Here. And even the early Sabbath stuff.
Sure, yeah. Very, very Christian lyrics.
Oh, yeah, very much.
I don't know, though, because what about, like, there's this band that I discovered, like, a few years ago called Moss.
Uh-huh.
They're from, yeah, and they had that album, Catholic Rites, mm-hmm. and they were all about into, like, the ritual of, like, mm-hmm. getting into that satanic worship type
well, I
of
mean,
thing.
There's every, like, little subgenre niche and nuance in metal. Mm-hmm. I guess what I'm saying is Earthrite kind of takes from that pentagram school of metal where it's really... I'm trying to warn you about mm-hmm. the evil that I've seen. I don't want you to have the same experience.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Rather than, all right, kids, I want you all to join the Dark Army.
We're dancing here, with
know?
The devil.
Right, yeah. right.
It's like Robert Johnson.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. Right. No, that's
and it's but the cool thing is good. Because the blues are so American, it's almost like this is real American metal.
And,
because
and that's
it's,
what
it's our tradition
and
as opposed to the
yeah.
bringing Europe over, bringing, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I connect with that a lot because, you know, I got into like the new wave of British heavy metal like as an entryway with Priest and Maiden and stuff. But this does have a distinct sort of Yankee vibe mm-hmm. to it. Like there's a
yeah.
real like Yankee bluesy soul and a mm-hmm. can't get enough of it. Love this band.
Well, yeah.
Play off the Puritanism of our forefathers.
Yeah, yeah.
Metal. Right. That works. All right. Ricky, last, certainly not least, Coliseum, a great band that I'm familiar with from split singles they've done with Superchunk,
yeah.
who's one of my favorites. Yeah. But you picked a little cover song for your selection. Tell
yeah.
us about this one.
Well, I picked Am I Demon, which is a cover of a Danzig song. And I picked this because when you think of horror music, when you think of scary music, I think of Danzig. Danzig is a fucking cartoon character in several ways. Like, I mean, yep. just everything about him is so now. Ridiculous. Just the way he embraces darkness and also kitties. And like
and kitties.
Yeah, like
nice.
And he's another bluesy guy, really. I mean, he's playing
oh, yeah.
in the blues idiom with this stuff for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I love Danzig. I'm not like trying to knock him. I mean, I guess a little.
You
bit,
can knock him. He's kind of a pussy, and he's about 4 feet tall. People should know.
Yeah, but the reason I picked this song is because, well, mostly I love Coliseum. I love this is another one of the bands that kind of helped me get into metal because they do come from that kind of punk framework. I don't even know if you would call Coliseum a metal band, but Dylan always calls it like a moto discharge sound
yeah,
or
yeah.
something like that.
I should say
yeah.
that I'm from the Louisville area. And
right.
so
Coliseum Halo.
I've seen Coliseum more times than I can shake a stick at.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
Wait, fan?
So,
are you a fan?
Yeah, definitely like a fan. I've been a fan of Ryan Patterson's work ever since mm-hmm. This Automatic, his old
mm-hmm.
straight edge band. So,
okay.
Ricky, can you tell us how you've referred to Coliseum in the past?
Oh, in one review I called them Louisville Sludgers, which I was pretty happy with.
That's
very nice.
Yeah.
Except for you said Louisville.
I know, I did say it wrong.
Is it Louisville?
It's Louisville.
Louisville.
Louisville. Like, kind of like Missouri.
Like
Louisville.
Yeah.
Okay.
Missouri.
But this
okay.
song, Dan, or Coliseum's version of this song, is a little faster, a little bit more raw sounding. I mean, it is.
This is from the Doom Riders.
Yeah, this is from their split with Doom Riders, which has Danzig, a screen printed image of Danzig on the cover.
Mm. Pretty hilarious.
Awesome.
Yeah.
He's looking tough. I'm looking at it right now. I remember years ago when he played at the old Fairgrounds Coliseum and we still had it with Corrosion of Conformity and Soundgarden were opening for Danzig, and I got to walk by him and he was like up to my waist, I think.
he's a really nice guy. Myself and James Bennett talked to him 2 years ago, 3 years ago when he came through.
Yeah.
I think.
Nice.
Oh, at the Solitaire show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. Mm-hmm. And
nice.
He was, for the first couple of minutes, really standoffish and really... You know, trying to be Danzig.
Be the part,
and,
right?
And,
like, I have cats.
No, I mean, literally,
cats.
Like, by, you know, after he kind of dropped the facade, he was actually a really, really funny, like, really nice dude. But
hey, he's a survivor, no doubt.
He is definitely a cartoon character.
Yeah, he's been playing it for a long time.
Oh, yes.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of Coliseum's version of Am I Demon right here.
Never!
this tour at Lo-Fi.
Oh, really?
With Torch.
Oh, rad.
And Kylesa.
Doom Riders or Colosseum?
Colosseum.
Colosseum.
Yeah. Colosseum, Lo-Fi, Torch, and Kylesa. Yeah, it was. There was no one there.
So, yeah, we saw Colosseum. We actually played.
2005.
We played with Colosseum at Todd's when Todd's was still on. Oh, weird. It was the same thing. And there was like 15 people.
Well, there. I went. I actually have never seen Colosseum. The one time I went to a Colosseum show, Alex was actually there. I had to leave before Colosseum played, but there was no one there.
Bummer.
Where was that one at?
That was at Burt's. They played with Burning Love a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was a fun show.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. But Colosseum is just one of my favorite bands. And they're a band who has kind of evolved from this kind of... They came from, like, straight edge, hardcore kind of roots. Well, Ryan Patterson, at least. And now they evolved into this kind of D-beat, punk-influenced, hardcore kind of stuff. And now it's just this really cool, weird... I don't even know how to describe it now.
Yeah, there's, like, some Jawbox in there. Mm-hmm. And like
post-D-beat.
Post-D-beat.
Yeah, yeah, post-D-beat. They're, like, they're E or F or G-beat at this point.
But, yeah, I just think... I always really like it when bands evolve in such a way. I mean, this is early from Colosseum's repertoire. Mm-hmm. Did you hear that word? That was pretty fancy.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I love cover songs, too. That's, like, one of the ways I get into bands is through cover songs, like... Mm. There's even, I don't even know, like bands I love, like the NoFX cover of Last Caress is fucking stupid, but I love it because it's a Misfits song I love.
Right.
And there's like the Metallica, we talked about Metallica earlier, there's another cover of Last Caress and they do a cover of Green Hell. Mm-hmm. But
actually, both those the Metallica EP, the 598 EP,
yeah.
And then the Violent World Misfits tribute that NoFX song is on are super solid.
Yeah.
I can't think of a band that I've gotten into because I've heard a cover song of theirs.
Yeah.
But the Metallica, the EP, the 598 EP specifically, when I heard that, I had heard, you know, the Misfits songs previously, but hearing the Misfits and Diamond Head and
Budgie
and Killing Joke, that stuff, and listening to that kind of a take on it was, it's always really cool to hear. Stuff like that. Yeah. Unless somebody does a cover song and completely slaughters it.
right.
Which happens a lot. But when you hear a really good version of a song that you already like, yeah, I can see totally where you're coming from.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I love the Misfits now that I am thinking about it. Why didn't I pick a Misfits song? I'm second guessing my picks too. I guess they're not metal.
That's actually the reason I didn't pick anything Misfits or Sam Hain is because it's too
on point.
I was having this conversation with Megan.
Too on point.
We gotta go with Super Obscurity.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like everybody's gonna pick a Misfits song.
I didn't pick another.
Yeah. And nobody picked a Misfits song or a Sam Hain song.
Yeah.
Well played, everyone. Everyone is much more well-informed in the metal tip now, thanks to you guys. Ready for Halloween, ready to get some horror on. You've been listening to Slug Soundwaves from the Underground. For all things Slug, make sure you visit slugmag.com. Next week, Bikini Body. I'm intrigued without even knowing what that is. I'm excited about it, and I hope it's live and in the studio.
It's probably metal.
We also have an interview with Jenna. It's metal bikini bodies. That's a whole show. Let's do that. Comedian Jenna Kim Jones, and we have Yelp Jeffrey Stedman coming in to talk about Thanksgiving food, and we'd like to hear what your favorite holiday dish is somewhere around the city. You can either send an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com or call and leave us a message on our automated voicemail line at 858-233-9324. That's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just might play your little tip on the show. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine, produced by Mr. Gavin Sheehan. Associate producers, Esther Moronio, Ricky Vigil, Alexander Ortega, Dan Nalen. Wow, half of us are in this room. Executive producer is Angela Brown. Theme performed by Birthquake. Recorded by Jesse Ellis. Main logo and art design by T-Done. And technical design by Kate Colgan. And this is my proper goodbye for the week. We'll see you next week here at the Soundwaves from the Underground podcast.